We're going to continue our teaching on how to build honor. Last week we talked about five principles. This week we'll talk about five more principles on how to produce honor. But we're going to get into a word of prayer as always. Father, we just thank you that this is the day that you have made. And we thank you right now. Hallelujah. Even though it's raining outside, Lord God, we've been badly in need of rain. So we thank you for the rain. Praise God. We thank you for the ministry. We thank you for the man of God, Apostle Leroy Thompson, for the anointing that's on his life, Lord God. Thank you for each and every student, Lord God. And Father, as always, I'm trusting the Holy Spirit to show up. Because if he don't show up, I'm going to fall flat on my face. Lord God, I recognize my inadequacies and my inabilities, but my eyes are on you, and I'm trusting in you to strengthen me. Amen. All right, so we talked about five areas last week. We talked about wisdom. We talked about humility. We talked about integrity and uprightness of heart. We talked about serving, and we talked about obedience. Now we're going to talk about five more principles. And the sixth way to build honor is observing protocol and the law, honoring all men. That word protocol is a system of rules explaining conduct and procedures to be followed in a formal situation. You must follow spiritual protocol or the right code of conduct. So protocol is a system of rules that explain the correct procedures to be followed. You know, it's so very important that we understand protocol. Amen. 1 Peter 2:17 says, love the brotherhood, fear the Lord, honor the king. The sixth way to produce honor is by observing protocols of the law and honor all men. That means you have to understand where and how the gifts in men are placed in society, in government, and especially in our world of ministry. When you know who God has gifted, we show honor to those gifts. This is observing protocol. Then he says, honor the king. That is honoring the laws of the land. And that's so very important. When we begin to honor and show proper protocol, then the scripture says, honor will be given to you. So as many persons that do not honor all men cannot reap the benefits of honor. James 1:17 says, every good gift and every perfect gift coming from above, coming down from the Father of lights, where there's no variableness and no shadow of turning, every good gift. So when you honor the gifts that come down from heaven, you can't help but be honored yourself. And it's so very important that we follow proper protocol, because the Bible says that the gifts and the callings of God are without repentance. If God calls somebody to a particular office in the fivefold ministry gifts, there is no excuse for you not answering that call and that gift. And at the same time, those around that person must work with that person, must honor the gift that God has placed inside that person. And when you honor the gift, you're honoring the person, because like I said, you can't separate the two. They're one and the same, because the gift is in the man. Amen. When a man of God enters the stage or pulpit, like I said, it's customary to stand and honor the gift that God has placed in that person. This is proper spiritual protocol. And not only that, I've even said, you know, I like to come to service early, as early as I can. Because even if I'm at prayer meeting, apostle may show up 5 minutes early and start teaching, start sharing something. And if you just show up on time, you might have missed 5 minutes that could have changed your life. So always be prepared, you know, and even after service, if he's still in the sanctuary, I'm not leaving, because he might be sharing something with somebody, and then he said, give me a mic. And then he'll share something with the whole congregation that might be the dessert after the meal that just seals the deal for you, you know, because any and every word that proceeded out of his mouth will produce in your life. You know, if you just take one word or one message or one phrase that he says, because this is what apostolic government will do. As you know, there is a heaven to earth connection in apostolic government. God speaks to his apostles and prophets. He gives them divine insight, wisdom, and revelation that the angels are descending and sharing with him. And now he takes that information and shares it to the body of Christ. So he's getting apostolic revelation, apostolic insight, apostolic wisdom. And now those people who receive and submit to him are apostolic believers because of the apostolic revelation. We had a teaching this past Wednesday on the apostolic authority of the believer, which is different. I've heard teaching on the believer's authority, but when you know that you are an apostolic believer, in other words, you're getting manna fresh from heaven, fresh from the man of God that got it from God down to you. That's apostolic protocol. Amen. Let me move on. Okay. Covered all that. Praise God. And this, like I said, I'm a repeater and I'm following my notes. It says also too, this is spiritual protocol. And I gave you an illustration earlier about Sunday prayer meeting. You never want to go before a man of God empty handed. You sow into that gift. Yes, you must remember that the gift and the man are one. You can't separate them. Always sow into the gift. Amen. You cannot show honor. I'm sorry. You can't honor the gift without honoring the man. Okay. Hebrews 7:5-7. I'm going to read a little bit here. Without all contradiction, the less is blessed for the better. The scripture refers to upward giving, sowing up that the blessings may come down. Without all contradictions, the less is blessed for the better. And I'm going to start off at verse 5. And verily, they that are of the sons of Levi who receive the office of the priesthood have a commandment to take tithes of the people according to the law. That is, of their brethren, though they come out of the loins of Abraham. But he who descends is not counted from them receiving tithes of Abraham, and blessed him that had the promise. And without all contradiction, this is Hebrews 7:7, the lesser person is blessed because of the better. This scripture refers to upward giving, sowing up that the blessings can come down on your life. I call that upward giving. When you sow up, the blessing come down. Amen. If you don't follow proper protocol in honoring the gift, then what's on them will not come upon you. The anointing that's on their life will not come upon you because you liked honor and proper protocol. Okay, so you want to make sure that you follow the proper protocol and you honor the apostolic gift so that what's on them can come down on you because you've honored them properly. Amen. Now here's a true principle that Bishop Tudor Bismarck shares in his book. He says here that submission is the, we talked about this last week, submission is the breeding ground for the supernatural. If you submit to the Lord, miracles will take place. Amen. So you want to submit properly in that area. Amen. Hallelujah. Praise God. And that's all under the scope of proper protocol. So when the Bible says honor all men, you have to honor the gifts where they are. You have to respect people in positions of rank and spiritual authority. Amen. You have to understand how systems work. Not all systems are the same. Not all spiritual camps think the same. Not all cultures and ethnicities are the same. So you have to show honor to each culture and each people and respect those cultures and those people, the way they do things. There is a different protocol for, you know, back, I know the Queen of England, she's gone, but now there's a king in England. But there is a protocol in approaching the King of England. You just don't go up and shake their hand. You have to know, because of the culture you're in, the protocol, you know, and by doing so, you're honoring them by following the proper protocol. I mean, in LTMA, there's a protocol that requires all first tier meetings to be, you be there in person. So when you're there in person, you're honoring the protocol, and by doing so, you will be honored. Amen. Moving on. Let me see. And I've shared it before. Okay, number seven. The seventh way to build honor is through giving. And that goes without saying. Sowing money seeds into the anointing. Proverbs 3, 9 and 10. Honor the Lord. And I like the way it starts off. Honor the Lord with thy substance and with thy first fruits of all thy increase. So shall thy barns be filled with plenty, and thy presses shall burst forth with new wine. Sowing a financial seed into the anointing, praise God, all our soul builds honor. When I said the anointing, or the anointed soul. Not all soul, which I mean dirt on the ground, or soul is actually sowing into somebody's life. Not all soul is the same. You want to sow into anointed soil that's going to produce a harvest in your life. One of the things I got out of I stopped doing years ago, we had several ministries that we were sowing into before we were members here at Word of Life. And our seed was being scattered, you know, to this ministry, to that ministry. And I thought I was doing a good service, which, yeah, to some degree I was, because I was getting fed from all those ministries. But once God has settled you down and said, this is whom you're to serve, this is whom you're to get fed from, that's where your seed need to go, into that soil, because that soil is producing nutrients in your life to produce a harvest in your life. And I could attest to the fact that that soil has produced in my life and is producing. Amen. It says, so shall thy barns be filled with plenty, and thy presses shall burst forth with new wine. I've seen that happen, you know, because I honored the Lord with my substance and with the first fruits of my increase. Amen. Like I said, sowing a financial seed into an honored soil builds honor. It could be a financial seed. It could be a material seed, where you give to someone of higher rank, or you give to someone even of lesser rank, if the Lord gives you permission to do so. But upward giving will yield the greatest results. But in either case, you must hear from God concerning your giving. And that's the key, is hearing from God. Lord, I want to hear from you and be directed by you in my giving. There's been times when years gone by. I remember when the land came up for sale across the street, and my pastor said, I'm gonna give each and every individual in the ministry an opportunity to sow into that project so we can buy the land across the street. My wife immediately nudged me. She said, let's go in the back. We need to talk. So we got up, we went into the copy room, and said, the Lord just instructed me that we need to sow up a substantial seed into that land. And she told me what it was. My knees buckled. I said, if God told you to do it, I ain't one to question it. I said, let's do it. So I write a note, and I walk up on stage, and I tell the apostle, we're going to sow X number of $1,000 into the land across the street. He said, okay, praise God, everybody. Rejoiced. The very next day, my wife goes to work and she gets laid off from her job. That's just an attack of the enemy, you know. And the enemy begins to tell us, now, that seed that you just sowed, you're going to need that. You better retract that, because you're going to need that money to get you over. And I said, no. I said, that seed becomes now a precious seed. And the quicker we get it in the ground, the quicker it's going to produce. So we hurry up, made some transfers to move money over, and I came upstairs and I sold that seed into the project of the land that we're going to be buying across the street. We've been having it for years. By the end of that week, my wife, because they laid off, and I said this before, some 2,000-3,000 people. It was a large number because they employed like about six where she works at a large aerospace industry. Lockheed Martin at the time, I think it was. But anyway, one of the HR directors saw her in the line, or found her. He didn't saw her. He found her in a line going from one building to the next, all these people who were being deprocessed out of the system. And he says, Miss Calhoun, he says, I got some good news for you. He said, someone in your department has elected to retire, and we need to keep an X number amount of people in that department. You have been reinstated back to your position. You can go back to your desk, and the records won't show that you were ever even laid off. So she goes back, you know, and out of well over 2,000 people, she was the only person that got her full position back, and within a matter of months got a substantial raise. The only thing I could point to that helped change that move was the seed that was sown the day before. I'm thoroughly convinced, without a shadow of a doubt, without a turning, that a seed will meet any and every need. And not only just meet it, it will exceed it. Because I've seen it. I've seen it numbers of times. You know, we get a seed in the ground, things change. When you get in an anointed soil, amen. So giving will produce honor. We were honored by that change. It changed and it strengthened our lives. Amen. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Let me make sure I'm not missing anything. One of the things I've always said, that the greatest seed that you can sow is an honor seed. There's no greater seed than an honor seed. It will produce the greatest level of harvest in your life. Your gift will make room for you and bring you into honor. It is so important we understand where to give and how to give. Individuals who don't know where to give and how to give never get blessed, never get the blessings of honor. Not all soil, like I said, will produce honor. The Bible says we're required to give a tenth of our increase and offering as God has blessed us. But there is times when God will open an opportunity to sow honor into a man of God or a person that walks in honor, so that the giver, the sower, will reap the harvest of honor. Amen. Hallelujah. Now, I've shared some things already. I'm going to move on. My time is being well spent. When you honor a spiritual father or elder, your days will be long, or will be elongated or extended. This means you will get a harvest of performance, generational harvest, and generational blessing. Amen. All right, let's move on. The eighth way to produce to build honor is protecting your leader. Protecting your leader will produce honor in your life. Amen. In the book of Esther, chapter 6, verses 1 through 3, it says, the Bible says in the verse 1, there was a night where the king, and I'm kind of paraphrasing it, could not sleep. So he asked to bring the books or the records or the chronicles of the nation. Somebody came and read what was written and told to the king that Mordecai had actually thwarted or stopped an assassination attempt on the king's life. And so after the king heard this, it says, and so the king said in verse 3, what honor or dignity was done for this man for coming against the assassination attempt on my life? And they said, he was not honored. Here is the principle. Protecting your leader builds honor. Protecting your leader will build honor in your life. You know, so here was a person who saw an assassination attempt unfolding upon the king. He went and intervened and stopped that attempt. The king didn't even know about it. He was probably asleep. But when the books were read, and for some reason, I guess the Holy Spirit or somebody woke him up and said, let's go back and read some things in the Chronicles. And he saw where a man by the name of Mordecai had stopped an attempt of an assassination. And the king replied, "Have this man been given any honor for what he's done for me? He saved my life." And they said, "No." And the principle was, when you protect your leader, and it doesn't have to be to the extreme of falling or stopping of assassination attempt. You protect your leader by just simply protecting his anointing. I've been assigned, and me and several other elders, a lot of times when there's a church member who has a loved one who went home to be with the Lord, we would go to that particular church where the funeral is to represent apostle. And so that he doesn't have to go, because a lot of times when he shows up, there's a lot of shots taken at him, you know, verbal shots, because they know who he is. And not everybody, you know, is going to honor him properly. So he has us to go and be the, I guess, the fall person, which is not, I mean, I take it as an honor to go and represent him and represent the ministry. And irregardless of what they might think or say, I know I'm being honored by protecting his anointing. So he doesn't have to, you know, be burdened down with something somebody said, or why did they say that? You know, where did they get that information from? You know, just foolishness. You know, so I've learned to, when I get an assignment, whether that's going to a hospital to pray for a member, because sometimes they got loved ones in there that don't want you there. And when they find out you represent an apostle, there were times we had to let some loved ones leave the hospital before we prayed to get the unbelief out of there, so we could pray and see that the guy get raised up, and no unbelief is there to try to short circuit the power of God. Amen. And so the king, you know, said in verse 3, what honor was given him? The principle here is, protecting your leader is so very important. As a ministry grows and start producing fruit, Satan will try to plant people to destroy the ministry. The anointing on the man, and if he can't get to the anointing on the man, the first family, you know, he's going to try to get to them. So it's so very important that you protect the apostle, the first family, the pastor, and the first family, because that's important. You know, the president has what they call the Secret Service. And whenever the president travels, even while he's at the White House, there's Secret Service, there's people all around him protecting him because he's a valuable asset to the country. Well, our man of God is even a more valuable asset to us. So it's so very important that we protect that anointing, protect the man of God, and keep him to where all he has to do is get before the Lord and minister. I mean, because that's what he's there for. Amen. So our prayer should be expose, reveal, remove, and replace anyone who has wrong motives against the leader, the first family, or the ministry. So some will try to come against the church with their own agenda. People have come here with their own agendas, with their own, you know, ideas, you know, to get their motives and their deceitfulness into the ministry, you know, and there's times we just have to protect, you know. I shared, I think it was the last session, about somebody who was trying to promote their own business inside the church. Didn't know what was going on. I prayed for wisdom. God gave me wisdom, and that thing was spoiled. It was stopped, you know, and that person was asked to leave. Why? Because they were doing something. Going back to the prayer, expose, reveal, remove, and replace. Amen. Hallelujah. if they do not want to receive help or continue in their sin and disobedience and do the right thing, they must be put out. Amen. There was a situation in 1 Corinthians chapter 5, 1 and 6, where a man was caught in fornication inside his own family. And Paul says, even though I'm not there, I've already judged this thing. He said, deliver him to Satan for the destruction of his flesh so that his soul might be saved. So he was put out the church, you know. A scripture that says, know ye not that a little leaven will leaven the whole lump. So if there's a little smidgen of disobedience and dishonor and sin in the camp, a little leaven can leaven or cause a whole lump to go bad. You know, so you want to make sure that you get the bad blood out, keep the bad blood out. And you do that by protecting your man of God. By as a leader, it's so important that, you know, I'm always watching. I'm always watching to make sure that there's nothing or no one that's doing anything contrary. And when I see somebody kind of fidgety and looking around, and I remember last LTMA session, somebody blurted out some scriptures and something that had nothing to do with what Apostle had asked. He said, I want you to give me get me back something that I shared. And they blurted out some scripture and started promulgating their own agenda. And the first way it came out of my mouth, Apostle, say the word, they out of here. You know, because I was ready, along with probably 20 or 30 other men, ready to escort that person out to church. Because, you know, we want to protect what God has blessed us with. We're not going to let anybody just come in and just say or do what they want to do. That's protecting the anointing, protecting what God has blessed you with. Amen. All right, let's move on. My time is well spent. Just want to make sure I'm covering everything. 8. Okay, I guess this is number 9. Worship and prayer, the 9th way to produce honor. Psalms 149:6 says, let the high praises of God be in your mouth as a two-edged sword in your hand, to execute vengeance upon heathens and punishment upon the people, to bind the kings with chains and their nobles with feathers of iron, to execute upon them judgment written. This honor have all the saints. Praise you the Lord. Worship and prayer develops honor. You know, it talks about the high praises of God coming out your mouth as a two-edged sword. King David used worship to cultivate the affairs of a nation. You know, I mean, he was a worshiper. He was a praiser. God's presence would come down when they would worship. And there were times where God told, I think it was Jehoshaphat, to put the praises in front of the army and let the praises go. And when the praises went, the walls came tumbling down. Prayerful people and people that know how to worship God will always make sure they are honored. You know, God will always make sure that they are honored. Platforms are created for people that pray, and the people that know how to worship, platforms are created for them. In other words, God has special blessings for that. Amen. Hallelujah. That scripture that we read few minutes ago, that was in Psalms about let the high praises of God be in your mouth as a two-edged sword in your hand. That's Psalms 149:6. There's also a reference in the New Testament to that in Matthew 21:15-16 that says, and when the chief priests and the scribes saw the wonderful things that he did, and the children crying in the temple and saying, Hosanna to the Son of David, they were so displeased and said unto them, hearest thou what these say? And Jesus said unto them, yea, have ye never heard, out of the mouth of babes and sucklings have thou perfected praise? So here, not only does it give you strength, but it also is a perfection of praise. Out of the mouth of babes and sucklings has thou perfected praise. So when you praise God, God's presence comes on the scene. And when God's presence comes on the scene, all that God is, all that God has, all that God can do is present. And so out of the mouth of babes and sucklings, thou hast ordained strength because of thy enemies, that thou mightest steal the enemy and the avenger. Okay, this is something you need to know. Praise and worship has ordained strength because of thine enemies. It steals the enemy and the avenger. So praise is a weapon. And you develop honor when you learn how to praise properly. When you hold up your hands and you praise God, and the presence of God begin to come down. You know, God's Shekinah glory just envelops the place. And when that happens, whoever ain't right either got to get right or get left or get booted out, because praise will steal the enemy and the avenger. I'm going to read that again. That's coming out of Psalms 8 and 2. Praise and worship has ordained strength because of thine enemies. It steals the enemy. In other words, steals it. It puts them to well, whatever their plans was, it stops them. It steals the enemy and the avenger. Praise and worship sets the atmosphere where the presence of God can inhabit. He only comes down when he's welcome. Amen. So praise and worship will steal or put to naught the enemy and the avenger. All of these principles that we have been studying are about how to develop honor. And like I said, you know, it's the little foxes that spoil the vine. You know, you say, well, I praise and worship, but you got to understand what you're doing when you're praising God, when you're worshiping God. You see, the Bible says God inhabits the praises of his people. And when God comes down and cohabitates with you, his presence is there. So whatever needs to be done, whatever needs to be changed, whatever needs to be corrected, God's presence is there to change it and to correct it and to do whatever it needs to take so that the atmosphere will be conducive now for the Holy Spirit to move as he will. So praise is a weapon, and praise is one of the ways to develop honor. You know, everything we've been talking about, you know, praise and worship, submission is the breeding ground for the supernatural. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Observing protocols of the law, honoring all men by honoring the gifts that's in men, that will produce honor. Praise God. It's knowing these things, you know, how to protect your leader, you know, giving, you know, as you know how to sow properly, sow into the anointing, that will produce honor. Amen. Everything we've been talking about is ways of how we can produce honor. Amen. That's so very important. So very important. Hallelujah. All right. The next aspect is understanding covering, the 10th way to produce honor. Understanding your covering. So very important. Amen. It's beginning to rain hard out there. Proverbs 31 and 23. Her husband is known in the gates when he sits among the elders of the land. She makes fine linen and sells it and delivers girdles unto the merchants. Her strength and honor are her covering. So the way to produce honor is understanding covering. Okay? Whoever covers you will develop strength and honor, for your clothes become covering. Speaking of cover, now, a lot of times the Bible used the word like a garment over is a covering, and that garment protects you from the elements. If I had a raincoat on, I had to go outside, that raincoat would protect my suit from getting wet. So it's a covering, it's a protection. An umbrella is a protection, you know, which is a covering. Okay, but when you know who spiritually is covering you and why they are covering you, that will produce honor in your life. When I go on an assignment for a pastor, for apostle, I know that I'm covered with his anointing because I've been sent and given an assignment to go and to go in his stead. And so one of the things I pray, I said, Lord, I thank you that the anointing that's on my pastor, the covering that's on his life is on my life. So when I go, I'm operating in his anointing under his covering. Amen. So if I don't know that, and I'm just going in my thinking I'm going in my own ability, Well, my ability won't get me very far. There have been times, remember one time we had a guy who actually expired in church and was brought back because the apostle prayed. But they still brought him to the hospital. And I was leaving church that day. And a part of me wanted to go check on him at the hospital. But then on the inside, I said, I'm not going to go unless the apostle gives me the assignment to go. And before I started my car, I looked at my phone. Sure enough, I had a text, you know, go to the hospital and be with the family, pray with them. So that changed everything, because I knew from that point on, I'm not going in my own strength. I'm not going in my own ability. I just been given an assignment by my man of God to go and to pray with the family and be with them, you know. And so I was headed to see my mother in Lafayette. I can't go today. I got an assignment, you know, and the gentleman is alive and well and strong, and he and I fellowship, you know, we had lunch together. He's been to my house, you know, but it's because of understanding covering, you know, understanding covering. Listen up. I got a few more minutes left. Okay. So the way to build honor is understanding covering. Whoso covers you, whoever covers you, will develop strength and honor for your clothes because, or for your covering, because it speaks of covering. Okay, listen up. You need to know this. You need to know who's covering you and why. It's not enough just to know you have a covering. You need to know why. Strength and honor are her covering, which came from her husband, are her clothing. In other words, individuals that don't know how they are covered don't develop honor. I'm covered because I'm under an apostolic government. I'm covered because I'm under God's covering. One more time. We need to know who's covering you and why. It is not enough just to have a covering. You need to know why. Strength and honor are her covering, are her clothing. In other words, individuals that don't know how they are covered do not develop honor. You know, I can say when I'm out on an assignment and the apostle has given me the assignment, I recognize I'm clothed with his covering. And I'm not going out there in my own ability, but I'm going out in his strength and his ability. And that's a difference because of the assignment. And that's why I tell young ministers, don't stray away from your assignment. If God placed you here, I remember years ago, people would tell me, he says, Brother Calhoun, he says, matter of fact, I shared this a couple of weeks ago. A gentleman at church came up to me and told me, the Lord told me you're going to start your own church. I just kind of looked at him. I didn't say nothing. Then I knew it wasn't right. And I reported it, which I'm instructed to do. And they said, yeah, go back and tell him that he missed it. I said, look, you missed it. You know, he said, I didn't say a church. I said, God going to make you a preacher. And I'm saying, well, I've been preaching ever since I was 18 years old. So what's new? You know, and then he started crawfishing. I said, look, be mindful what you tell people. You know, matter of fact, it's better that you don't tell them nothing. If God told you something, if it come to pass, well, if it's God, if it didn't come to pass, it wasn't. It was just you. And nobody got hurt, you know, because you can interrupt a person's life and mess up some things because they thinking you spiritual and you just operating in the flesh. But it's understanding and knowing a covering and knowing your assignment inside that covering. That's so important, you know, because there's a special anointing to do every aspect of the ministry of health. There's a special anointing that's given to each individual person to operate in an apostolic function under that covering that they're under, you know. So, and it's the covering and your obedience and your submission to that covering that makes all the difference, you know. Not all spiritual coverings are the same. Not all spiritual camps are the same. Now, God will lead you to the brook where the nourishment you need lies. The Lord spoke to Elijah and told, there's a certain brook that I'm going to sustain you. Well, the Lord spoke to my wife and I some 40 years ago, or 35, 36 years ago, and said, this is where you need to be. And we're not about to leave, because I understand the covering that I am. I understand that if I leave, I'm walking out of the cover. Sometimes at night it might get too warm and I'll slip out of the cover, and then before long I get cold. I have to get back under the cover. So, but in my spiritual, where I'm at, I'm not getting out from under the cover or the covering that God has called me to. Amen. The Lord told Elijah, if you see him up, go up in the whirlwind, you have a double portion, because Elijah stayed close to Elijah. Stay under the covering. With that said, we'll see you next week. Amen.